Thank you. Titus chapter 1 and verse 16. I want to preach to you on this topic this morning. Your walk speaks louder than your talk. Your walk speaks louder than your talk. Here in Titus chapter number 1, Titus chapter 1 and verse number 16, the Bible says this: they profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. What a sad statement that makes about some people, doesn't it? It makes the statement of these individuals, how they say, they profess to know God. With their tongue they tell of knowing God and believing in God and loving God. But yet it says about them, in works they deny Him. In their actions they deny Him. Oh, how I love Jesus. They could sing in church probably, but on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, they sure don't live like they love Jesus. That's what the Bible said. It made a very sad statement about a group of people right there. I want you to turn on with me to 1 John chapter 2, a little bit further in your New Testament towards the end of the Bible. 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 4. 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 4. It says there, he that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. You know, the Bible makes some strong statements, doesn't it? You know, sometimes the preacher, he can preach hard and say hard things. Well, the Bible says some hard statements sometimes and ought to convict us and make us realize sometimes what people can be like and what we could be like and what we ought not to be like. It says there, he that saith, I know Him. We say that we know God. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Can I tell you this, what we notice in these verses, and a lot of verses we're going to look at this morning? Your walk speaks a whole lot more loudly than your talk does. We can say that we love God. We can say that we love Jesus. We can say we believe in God, but do our actions back it up? Do our actions back it up? Your walk speaks louder than your talk. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray together. Why don't you ask God to speak to your heart this morning and work especially in your life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your word now. Help us to have an open heart. We can, if we want to, we can just reject everything. We can ignore the Bible. We can ignore Scriptures. Or we can embrace it. We can say it's the Word of God. It's truth. I believe it. And I'm going to accept what it says. May we come this morning in faith, believing the Bible, being willing to listen to everything that it tells us. And may we have a heart that is yielded, that wants to be challenged, that wants to be changed, that wants to become better in the Christian life, that wants our lives to glorify God, to glorify our Master, our Creator, our Savior. Help us, Father, to have yielded hearts. Help us to really open, be open to Your word and to Your spirit as He tries to speak to our spirit this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Your walk speaks louder than your talk. In Matthew 7, verse 20, it says, wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Can I ask you something? What fruit is being produced in your life? What fruit is being produced in your life? Have you ever heard the expression, your actions speak louder than your words? Your actions speak louder than your words. That's so true. And I express it this way this morning. Your walk speaks louder than your talk. Your walk speaks louder than your talk. Go back with me to 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse number 3. In the Old Testament, 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse number 3. Again, we'll turn to lots of verses. If I sometimes turn too quickly and read them ahead of you, I'm sorry. Sometimes I'm quick to read or quick to talk, and hope that you'll grasp and understand and just listen good. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse number 3. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse number 3. It says, talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him, what's the next word? Actions. Actions are weighed. He says, talk no more proudly. Hey, don't talk about how good you are. Don't tell me how great of a Christian you are. Don't tell me how good of a dad you are, how good of a husband you are, how great of a wife you are, how great of a worker you are, because God knows everything. He says, don't talk exceedingly proudly, because your talk is worth a whole lot less than your walk, your actions, how you live. You know what? A lot of people in life have been turned off by Christians who said they were Christians but didn't live much like a Christian. And that's so sad. That's a sad testimony. Our walk is a whole lot more powerful thing than our talk is. You ever heard this? Talk is cheap. Talk is cheap. Oh, you tell me you love... Okay, talk is cheap. Talk is cheap. God weighs a person's actions. God evaluates a person's actions, not just what comes out of a person's mouth. Someone has said this, your walk talks and your talk talks, but do they agree? Your walk talks and your talk talks, but do they agree? Do we say this? Do we say that we're this? Do we pretend to be this, but our actions would maybe show something very different? Do they agree? You can sing, oh, how I love Jesus, but do your actions agree with that statement? By the way, it's not just God that wants to see right living. It's all those around us too. It's everybody around us. God will weigh things by our actions. Our actions have a whole lot heavier weight than just what we say. Our husband, our wife, our children, our parents, our neighbors, our fellow church members, our co-workers, our boss at work, our classmates at school. You know what? They are all looking to see Christ in your life. You, if you claim to be a Christian, they need to see a difference. Does your life truly demonstrate the power of Christ? Does your life demonstrate or show the grace of God to others? Maybe you've said you're a Christian, but do you live like a Christian? Do we live like Christians? You know, if I hadn't told my neighbor that I was a Christian, would they know that I was a Christian? If I hadn't told my neighbor one time that I was a preacher, my Italian neighbor on this side, that statement kind of set him back right there in the beginning. Would he still know there's something very different about that guy? He must be a preacher. He must be a pastor. He must be something. Well, would they be able to know? I mean, would people around you see a difference to know that you are a Christian? You're a child of God. There's something different. The proof is in the pudding, as they say. Don't just tell people how good Jesus is. Live it. We ought to live like Jesus is good. Man, Jesus has been good to me. Don't just tell people how good you are. I mean, show them and live the kind of life that Jesus Christ wants you to live. Your walk speaks louder than your talk. And don't just tell people you've been saved. Let them see it. Let them see it. Turn with me over to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3 in the New Testament. Your walk speaks louder than your talk. Your walk speaks louder than your talk. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1 is where we'll read. It's not what you say, but how you live that is showing what kind of a man you really are. Did you hear that? It's not what you say, but how you live, that is showing what kind of person you really are. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 1. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1. I know this also, that in the last time, perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, and so on. Down in notice verse 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Verse 8. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. They resist the truth. You know, people that even if they claim they believe truth and so on, if they're living in opposition to the truth, let me tell you something, they are opposing the truth. It doesn't matter what you say. It matters how we live and how we act and so on. It says, these do also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further. Notice this, verse 9. For their folly, their foolishness, in other words, shall be manifest unto all men. The word manifest means to completely made known. Their foolishness will be completely made known to others. People will see it. It won't matter what they said. It'll matter that their foolishness will be seen. It'll be on display. It'll be showed to others. Verse 10 says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine. Now Paul refers to himself. Thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life. In other words, his manner of living. The way that he was living was showing them something. Thou hast known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. You notice the difference between those other men it refers to and the Apostle Paul? People's actions make known what they really are. We can say we're something. We can at times pretend to be something, but it's our actions that show what we really are, who we really are. Hey, don't just pretend to be a good man. Be a good man. Don't just pretend to be a good man. Be a good man. The Bible says this in Proverbs 26. Most men will proclaim, in other words, they'll tell everyone of their own goodness. The Bible says, but a faithful man who can find? So don't just claim to be a good man. I mean, be a faithful man. Be a good man. Be a faithful man. Be a faithful man in your marriage. Be a faithful man as a Christian. Be a faithful man in serving the Lord, in leading your family, in loving your children, all those things. Don't just claim to be it. Be it. Be a good man. Be a faithful man. Be the kind of husband and father and Christian and so on that you ought to be. Hey, I say this as well. Don't just pretend to be a good kid. Be a good kid. We got a few teenagers in here still this morning. Hey, don't just pretend to be a good teenager. Be a good teenager. You know, you can pretend if you want to be. You know, you can pretend when you're around your pastor. Pretend when you're around, you know, your school teacher. You can pretend. Don't just pretend to be a good kid. Be a good kid. Proverbs 20 and verse 11 says this. Even a child is known by his doings. Even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. Don't just pretend to be something. Be what you ought to be. Be what you ought to be. Hey, don't just pretend to be a good Christian. Be a good Christian. We said something, you know, to the men and to the kids. This is for all of us, right? Don't just pretend to be a good Christian. Be a good Christian. Jesus spoke of the Pharisees and he said this about them. They honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. They honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. That's what we'd call Pharisaical living. Listen, let's let our actions be something that agree with what we say that we are. Remember that your walk speaks louder than your talk. The book of Proverbs teaches us that we will know the difference between the foolish and the wise by their actions. We'll know the difference. Our life speaks louder than our lips. Our actions speak louder than our words. Turn with me over to 1 John. 1 John, towards the very end of your New Testament. 1 John, chapter number 3. You know what? If you don't like it this morning, then what you're saying is, I don't like what the Bible says. I don't like what God's Word says, because I'm not going to tell you anything that is really of my own except those little corny phrases. Your lips will speak louder, your life will speak louder than your lips, and your walk speaks louder than your talk. That's all I'm adding. Hey, all of it's the Bible. All of it's the Word of God. And we ought to be challenged in our life to not just say we're something, but to be what God wants us to be. 1 John 3. Remember this. God showed His love to us, not just by saying, I love you, but by giving us His Son. God showed His love to us, not just by saying, I love you, but by giving us His Son. Look what it says in 1 John 3:16. Hey, you ever want a good verse to remember? Remember not just John 3:16, but remember later in the New Testament, 1 John 3:16. What a good verse this is. 1 John 3 and verse number 16. hereby perceive or hereby understand we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. How do we understand the love of God? How do we see the love of God? Not just because he wrote a big sign in the sky and said, I love you. No, because God sent down his son to earth to die on the cross for us, to save us from our sins. That proved his life, his actions, his giving. Our actions speak louder than our words. They truly do. And because of that, we are taught how we ought to live, aren't we? Because of what God did for us, because of what Christ did for us, it teaches us how we ought to live. So we see that we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Notice verse 17 and 18. But whoso hath this world's good, we have this world's good. If you're living here in Canada, you got a lot of this world's good. No matter how poor we may claim to be, you might live above or live below the poverty line by Canadian standards. But let me tell you something. Every one of us is very wealthy compared to so many people in this world. We have a lot of this world's good. We have so much. And he says, but whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Because your life will speak louder than your lips. Your actions will speak louder than your words. Your walk will speak louder than your talk. I'm just saying, I care about that. Well, do something to show that you care about that. You see a person in need, it says you do something to meet that need. How can we say we truly love them if we won't show them the love of God? See, that teaches us how we ought to love, because Christ didn't just say, I love you. He gave his life to prove it, and we ought to do the same. We ought to do the same. Our deeds will speak louder than our creeds. There's another one for you. Our deeds will speak louder than our creeds. What we say, we believe, and so on. Our walk will speak louder than our talk. Turn back with me to Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. Don't you love the Bible? You love the Word of God? Teaches us so much. Teaches us how we ought to live, how we can please God. You know, how we ought to want our life to please God. Our time on earth is so short compared to eternity. Acts chapter 19, and we're going to look there at verse number 11. The world needs to see a change in you and me. The world needs to see a change in you and me. Look. Begin reading there, Acts 19, 11. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them. The evil spirits went out of them. And then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, Jew, and a chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirits was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus. And fear fell on them, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. What an incredible story. First, there's these that are demon-possessed. They're possessed of devils, evil spirits. The evil spirits are cast out. Many people, because of this, they believe, they come to God. But boy, they didn't just say they believed. They turned from a lot of things. The Bible says they came in. And you know what? I don't know if you've ever in your life heard of or been a part of where some church meeting or some youth camp or some meeting where they had a big bonfire to burn off some of the things that need to be burned off. Let me tell you, it comes from the Bible.
It's a good basis to do something like that. And they had a big bonfire here because these people believed God and their life was being so much changed that it wasn't just going to be, oh, we believe God now. They showed it. Boy, there was a proof that all heard about it and all knew about it, and people would have saw what happened, where they very publicly came and they had a bonfire, and the things that needed to be burned, they burned. Because truly their hearts and lives were being changed. They were turning to God. And it was going to make such a difference. They burned books. Oh, what, to burn some old books, to burn some old music, to burn some things that were part of our old life before we got saved. Hey, that's a good thing. Our life ought to be changed, and the world needs to see that change. There will be far greater power when you try to witness, when you try to tell others about Christ, when people see that your life is different. You know, there's a song that says this: the things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. There's been a great change since I've been born again. And the kids like to sing this: there's been a great, and they shouted it, change since I've been born. It's been a great change since I've been born again. Can I ask you something? Has there been a great change since you've been born again? Has there been a great change? Is there things you used to do that you don't do them anymore? Is there places you used to go that you don't go there anymore? Is there maybe things you used to touch or things you used to see that you don't see them anymore? Listen, there needs to be a great change. If we've been born again, if we've been saved, if God's Son, Jesus Christ, has saved us, there ought to be a change in our life that the world can see. Can I give you a very sad example in the Scriptures? In 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. 2 Samuel 12, verses 13 and 14, it talks about David. And David was a man who had loved God. You know, the Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. He had loved God in a very special way and so on. But David's godly testimony that he had to the world was tarnished because of his sin. His sin tarnished what was a good reputation. Look what the Bible says here in 2 Samuel chapter 12. And verse 13 and 14. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. It's a sad verse, and it's a tragic verse, and in David's consequences for sin, he would even end up losing a baby. His son dying again because of his sin with Bathsheba and so on. But the prophet Nathan, he in pointing the finger to David and saying, this is what God has told me to tell you. He said, you know, don't worry. God's forgiven you. But you know what? The world saw what you did. The world knows all about your sin, and now you've shamed the name of your God. The enemies around, let's blaspheme the name of your God because of your sin, David. You see, sin in our life and not living like we ought to live, that will tarnish our testimony. How will we be a good testimony, a good witness for the Lord if our lives are so much tarnished? Why? Because by our actions, because by our the things we do, and so on. We are ashamed to the Lord. We don't live like we should. There's a song that I learned when I was just a little kid. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see, for the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear, for the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you touch. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you touch, for the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you touch. Hey, all those things, think about it. Every member of our body is to be yielded to the Lord. And the things that we do and the things that we touch and the things that we listen to and the things that we look upon, all those things ought to be pleasing to God. And remember something, God sees all things. God knows all things.
we should be careful. And not just though because the Father up above is watching, but because so is the world. My neighbors are watching. I live on a very short street. There's 12 houses on our little avenue there. But you know what? Every one of those neighbors know that I'm supposed to be a Christian. They know that I'm supposed to be the pastor of Gospel Light Baptist Church. Can I tell you something? They're watching. They're watching. The old Italian grandma, she's watching out her window. The other families, they might not be watching out their window, but they're watching how our kids behave out on the sidewalk. They're listening to how when we're in the backyard and how we're talking and all that. They're watching. They're listening. They see things. They need to see us living like a Christian. They need to see us living and acting like we're supposed to act. When the world sees our homes, do they see a difference? Look with me to Colossians chapter number 3. Colossians chapter 3 in the New Testament. You'll find Romans, Corinthians after that, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. We want to look there to Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 12. Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 12. When the world sees our homes, do they see a difference? When the world sees our homes, do they see a difference? Colossians 3 and verse 12 says this, "Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering." Now, those things are not just attitudes on the inside. Those are things that are going to express itself in our actions. Those things will express itself in how we talk to our family, how we treat our wife, how we treat our husband, how we treat our children, how we talk to our parents, how we treat our neighbors, how we treat our coworkers, how we treat classmates at school, how we treat friends, and how we treat enemies. All of those things. He says, verse 13, "Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness." Go down to verse 17. "And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus." Notice it's not just in word, but also in deed. Our actions. Our actions, "do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord." Listen, there ought to be a different way of treating each other. There ought to be a different way of treating each other. If we're a Christian, living like a Christian, there ought to be a different way of speaking. There ought to be different music in the home. Verse 16 talks about teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. There ought to be different activities. There ought to be things that maybe would take place in a, what I'd say is an ungodly home, or a home that doesn't know the Lord, and those things wouldn't take place because you have a Christian home. You're living for Christ. There ought to be things that maybe would be watched on television in an ungodly home or an unsaved home that shouldn't be watched in a Christian home. There ought to be things that are just, there ought to be different activities, different music, different way of speaking, different way of treating each other, different posters on the walls in the kids' bedroom. Why? Because you're a Christian and we're living for Christ, and our heroes are not the same heroes that the world has and the people that the world is just emulating and so on. It ought to be different. Different things watched on television, and it could be so much. But let me tell you something, there ought to be a difference in our homes. People ought to see that difference and notice that difference. Turn with me over to the book of Titus, a little bit farther in your New Testament, not very far. You'll find the book of Titus, chapter number 2. Titus chapter 2. In our homes, can the world see a difference? They ought to. They ought to see a difference because of our actions. Not just because, well, we say we go to church, we say we're Christian, but they see how you're living, how you're acting, how you treat each other. Let me give you another example on the practical. An employee's actions can also help to give their employer a good impression of Christ. An employee's actions can help to give their employer a good impression of Christ. And we ought to want that. Look what it says in Titus chapter 2 and verse 9. Titus chapter 2 and verse 9. There's a command given, "Exhort servants," the employees, "to be obedient unto their own masters," to the boss. exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again. That kind of means like not talking back. Not always having to argue, not answering again, not talking back. Verse 10 says, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. It's talking really there about they will get their idea, they'll get their perspective about God. You know what? They know you're supposed to be a Christian, okay? Your life is going to be what's going to adorn the gospel. Your life is what's going to sort of be the wrapping, if you will, for the gospel. For you're to be a testimony, for you're to be a good witness. How you respond, how you treat them, how you react, how you deal with them, how you obey them or submit to them or follow them. No matter who we are, we're to be a good employee. Because that can be a good testimony and a good witness for Christ to give others a good impression of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Look over to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. I'll just give you one more example, biblical example here. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1. It says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they may also, without the word, be won by the conversation, the way of living of the wise. It says, verse 2, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Verse 1 is talking about if you're a Christian lady, you're a Christian wife, and you have a husband that's not saved. It's talking about how you live and how that can influence them. That it won't be, it may not be by the word that they get won, but it may be by your way of living. It may be because you're living out the word. You're living out the truth. And the way that you act, the way that you respond, and the way that you treat them is what can help to win them to Jesus Christ. If they're not saved, that's so important. Wives with unsaved husbands, your life will do more to help your husband get saved than your preaching will. Your life will do more to help your husband get saved than your preaching will. No matter what area of life the Holy Spirit of God has been working in to maybe convict you this morning, I want you to remember something. Your walk speaks louder than your talk. Your actions will speak louder than your words. Your life will speak louder than your lips. Your deeds will speak louder than your creeds. Your walk speaks a whole lot more loudly than your talk does. Oh, I say I'm... Okay. Prove it. Show it. Demonstrate it. Let's live how we ought to live. Let's show others what we believe. Let's show others what is truth. Let's show others who we really are. And let what we really are be what it really ought to be. Your walk speaks louder than your talk. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would challenge our hearts and convict us, O Lord, to be what we ought to be, to live how we ought to live. Father, we are so thankful that you demonstrated and proved your love to us. We're so thankful that you gave your Son, Jesus Christ. You didn't just say that you loved us, you proved your love. Father, in our lives, help us to prove, let there be proof of our love for God by our actions, by how we live. Trisha, I'll get you to help me at the piano if you would. With our heads bowed, our eyes closed, let me tell you this. God sure does love you. If you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. He gave Jesus Christ to prove his love for you so you could be saved, you could be born again, you could have eternal life. If you don't know for sure that you're saved, that's the biggest and best, greatest decision you could ever make in your life. I pray that you would have the courage to come and talk to me. Talk to someone that would be able to share with you the truth from the Bible and share with you what verses teach us, what God has told us, and how we can really know for sure, without a doubt, that heaven's our home, that Jesus is our Savior. If you've never been saved, you need to make that decision. Don't put it off. If you've been saved and you've not followed the Lord in believer's baptism, can I tell you something? That's what God wants you to do, to show your faith. We're to very proudly demonstrate our faith to others. Show that we've been saved. Show what we believe. There ought to be nothing holding us back. We ought to be willing to obey and say, I'm with Christ. I belong to Him. He belongs to me. And I want to identify with Him. And let your works then, let your act of baptism demonstrate that what you believe. That you've believed in the gospel and you want to follow Christ in your life. Christ is your Savior. You want to be a new creature. You ought to follow Him in believer's baptism. How about your life every day? How about in your workplace? How about in your home? How about in your relationships? How about in church? How about in your Christian life? Whatever area it may be. Are you always living like you ought to live? Let's not just pretend to be something. Let's be what we ought to be. Let's not just tell others that we're something. Let's really be it. Let's be what God wants. In your home, be what a Christian ought to be. In your workplace, be what a Christian ought to be. No matter where you are, be what you ought to be. Your walk will speak a whole lot louder than your talk will. You know what? Let's not let there be things in our life that could be a shame to the testimony, a shame to the name of Christ, that would cause others to blaspheme and say, if that's what a Christian's like, I don't want to ever be like that. If that's what a Christian's like, I would never want to be a Christian. Our life really needs to back up what we say we believe. Maybe God has challenged you and spoke to your heart in some way. Can I ask you to humble yourself and spend some time in prayer now? I'm going to ask the pianist to play, and let's stand together to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed.